Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Midnight, straight up here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer.
Is already one of the great inventions in the history of inventions.
Yes, it is, Tommy.
Like, I would put it up there with Air and Sidney Sweeney.
Yes. You're exactly right, Tommy, from the past. This is Tommy in the present, and soon I will be Tommy in the future. And the future is looking bright, not only for the Knicks right now, but obviously the Yankees, as the Yankees continue to roll. They're 15-2 in their last 17. They stand atop the American League. And the Knicks, after dismantling the Hawks on their way to a convincing series victory over Atlanta, they put their, you know, belt to ass on the Sixers in game one. And there was a lot of belly aching, which, you know, there's going to be. I mean, Joel Embiid is essentially a child. I mean, he's the worst. We know that. Now, I mean, if you root for him, you probably, but I bet he has a love-hate relationship as far as the fans with him down there, because sometimes the act will wear thin when you're not winning, and you got it there in full-fledged the other night in game one. And, yeah, I mean, he's going to be a guy that's going to flop around. He's going to try to take it to the mental game and the mental warfare and all that stuff, and it's up to the Knicks to not get dragged out in the muck. You're the better team. You're on fire right now. You are just steamrolling and playing great on both ends of the floor. Embiid is going to want to muck things up. He's going to want to drag you down into the depths that he is the most comfortable with. And when he is in a situation where he feels like the wheels are going to fall off, not only for himself, but for the series, yeah, he's going to act like a baby. He's probably going to play dirty. He's going to complain to the officials. He's going to flop. He's going to try everything he can to swing the series back in the favor of the Sixers, and or he knows it's over, and he's just going to try to be a jerk. So that's what it's headed for. And this is where the Knicks, because we saw it at the end of the series against Atlanta, because it was chippy, 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 and then at the end, Mitch got into it, and it's like one of those situations where there's just way too much on the line here to worry about what Embiid is doing. Like, he is a guy that is hobbled. He is a guy that knows that the Sixers aren't as good. They don't have the depth. They were fortunate to get by Boston, all things considered, with Tatum not being there for Game 7. So it is essentially a wounded animal here, and they are in a spot where Embiid being the guy that just kind of stirs the drink, you can't allow yourselves to play the game that he wants to play. Now, it's one thing for the fans to go back and forth with it, as he is in many ways public enemy number one. But as far as the players, especially if things continue to get out of hand, you know Embiid is going to try to pull something. And I think the officials, too, have to be on high alert for this type of stuff and not allow this guy to do anything like he did last time where he hurt Mitchell Robinson in the series a couple of years ago. And it took forever to Mitch to recover. So, and really, the Knicks are so healthy right now, that's the last thing you want is any type of injury, especially when it comes to a dirty play or something like that. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Phil in Sheepshead Bay here on After Hours. What's up?
Hey, Tommy, yeah, I'm going to make a few points about the Knicks. Mm-hmm. You mentioned some of them, but I'm going to reinforce what you said. Okay. First of all, you got to check all the boxes. Rebounding, spacing is good. They're playing defense, the best I've ever seen them. They're making shots all over the place. They're getting in the paint, and they're demolishing them. That's the word I like to use. They're demolishing the Sixers. And you know, he's going to complain, Embiid, because he's a big baby. And I don't even pay any attention to him.
Yeah,
you know why?
Nor should the Knicks players, because he is a child. He is a baby, especially when things aren't
exactly
going well.
And they kept Mr. Maxey down pretty good. Other than the last quarter, I didn't see him doing much.
No, didn't do much, but he is a wonderful player. He's going to have a game this series where he completely takes over, Yeah, that's what he does. Where Brunson has, you know, 40, which he's, look, he's almost had four straight games, Phil, in the playoffs against the Sixers. If it wasn't for the blowout, he would have in the last game. It would have made it four straight. But Maxey's going to have one of those 40, 45-point nights himself because he's just an awesome player. And when he is, you know, downhill, getting to the rim, he's very difficult to stop, even with the Knicks, the way they're playing defense right now.
And I think the refs should be on high alert.
Yep.
Because they're going to pull some kind of stuff.
Yep.
I'm almost sure of it.
They being in the way, I don't want to clump everybody into that.
They're desperate now.
Yes, exactly.
They're playing. You know what this reminds me of? If you get a dog, you ever see Cujo? And the dog is like,
the movie?
He just attacks Cujo. Yeah, the movie.
I've never seen it, but I'm aware of the movie.
Yeah. And the dog was like foaming at the mouth because he had nothing to do. And whoever went, he went against them and tried to bite them. That's what they're going to do, but I'm sure the refs are going to be aware of it. And yeah, I'll leave you with that, and let's go, Nick.
There you go, Phil. Phil, always a drop-the-mic type of guy. Always a drop-the-mic type of guy. Yeah, there's obviously a lot of bad blood in this rivalry, for sure, especially when you consider what happened a couple years ago, and obviously the rivalry that exists amongst New York and Philadelphia, and then when you consider the Villanova Knicks that played college in Philly down in Pennsylvania at Villanova. There's a lot of storylines here. There's a lot of hatred. And Embiid, yeah, there's no other way to slice it that he is just a baby, a child. And when things are not going well, he has temper tantrums and he tries to pull some stuff and he tries to pull some dirty plays and he tries to, let's be real, at times he injures people. Even in Game 7 against Jaylen Brown, he pushed him late, and there was a, I think they called a technical on it. They certainly should have. It was way after the whistle. And you got to be on high alert. You do. And this is where, so I don't want to, I don't like going back in time with the Knicks. I know a lot of people love to do it. I don't. But this is one situation where I will channel the 90s Knicks. And this is where you wish you had some enforcers that could basically... Now, Alvarado, he fits that bill. He would have been a nice... He's great now. He would have been fit in nicely in the 90s. But you need those enforcers to be like, yeah, stay away from Jalen. Stay away from Kat. Stay away from Mitch. Not on our watch. That's what you need. And guys that would strike kind of fear in his heart, like if you pull, even come close to pulling anything here, you are going to be, we're going to throw you in the fourth row. Or we're going to take you out at the knees. It's not the way the game is played anymore. And that's one of the things where, and for the best, I mean, the sport is way better now in terms of the actual talent that is out there. And just the game is better. I know a lot of people don't like the threes, but the skill level is better than it was in the 90s. But the enforcer, the Mason, the Oakley, those guys are extinct in terms of a basketball player. Like, they just don't make them like that anymore. Certainly not as many as there used to be, that's for sure. And that's something you need in this spot with Embiid. Because he's definitely going to pull something. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Timmy in West Babylon. What's up, Timmy?
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, how's it going? It's really happy to actually wear orange and blue these days when I'm a Yankees and the Rangers fan. It's really great right now. The Knicks, I think they're going to run roughshod on the 76ers tomorrow. But what you were just saying, though, they do need like an Oakley or a Jerome James, like the junkyard dog. They need somebody to protect Kat and Mitch Williams.
You didn't mean Jerome James. We're gonna try to. We'll get there together. I don't know who you're talking about. Jerome James is not the guy you're thinking of. Jerome Williams is literally called it.
His nickname was the junkyard dog.
No, Jerome Williams. Jerome James was the guy they brought in for all that money, and he stunk and did nothing. That's okay.
He was there for like 1 year.
Yeah, he was horrible. But yeah, I mean, Oakley and Mason are great examples for sure.
But they need somebody. Joel Embiid his purpose right now in this series is to get these guys in foul trouble.
Yep.
And that's
which
what
he did, by the way, in game
night.
One. I mean, Cat had four, Mitch had four. So he was successful. If they were successful in anything the other night, the Sixers, it was getting the bigs in foul trouble. So if these games are close and those guys are in foul trouble, then the Sixers could take advantage of that for sure. And that's what I think they're going to continue to school on that.
I think they're going to win four or they're going to win five. I told my mother, I said, I'll buy you a pot of plants. I'll plant it for you if you want me to. I'm sorry, Mother's Day. I'm going down to Philly.
Yep.
And she said, "All right, do what you got to do."
So wait, your mom lives in Philly?
No, my mom lives on Long Island.
Oh, gotcha. I see what you're saying. You are going to Philly on Sunday for the playoff game, and now you are going to make it up to your mom for skipping out on Mother's Day, which, by the way, it sucks that there's a playoff game on Mother's Day. It's just, I mean, it's great that there's a playoff game, but you hate that.
Well, there are pink bats in baseball, too. I mean, the Yankees and the Mets are both going to be playing.
No, I understand that, but it's a difference when it's baseball and there's 162 baseball games. You know, we're talking about a playoff game. There's a major difference between regular season baseball and a playoff basketball.
Hey, Tommy, can I just give a shout out to my girlfriend Sasha?
No.
She's in Connecticut, and we have a little dog. He's King Cavalier Charles.
What kind of dog you got? What kind
I just want to give her a happy Mother's Day
of
early.
Course. Yeah, what kind of dog you got?
All right. Cavalier King Charles. He looks like a little Burmese Mountain Dog.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, shout out for sure.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Tommy.
Yeah, you got it, brother. No worries. Yes, it is Mother's Day coming up on Sunday. And I am Tommy, the fountain of information. So for those of you that forgot, and you know that's a lot of you out there, whether it's your mother, your grandmother, your wife, if you have kids, or in this, hold on a second. Is my wife now technically a mom because we have a cat? I'm not getting two presents. I'm going to have to figure something out there. Is she expecting something now on Mother's Day? Boy, I didn't even think about this. I'm Tommy, the fountain of information. I need another Tommy to give me the information because you mentioned the dog there, right? And people consider themselves a dog mom or a cat mom, which I guess my wife is at this point. Because we do talk to the cat and we do say, well, daddy and mommy, even though we didn't birth the cat, that would be weird. That didn't happen. But we are essentially the cat's parents or his legal guardians, however you want to put it. You know, in many ways, you feel like you adopt the cat. You know what I'm saying? So, oh boy. All right. Well, I already tried to explain to my wife that there was a playoff game on Sunday. I was like, you know, there's a Nick game on Sunday. She goes, what do you mean? I go, what do you mean? What do I mean? That does it need explanation? There's a Nick game at 3:30 on Sunday. She goes, oh, okay. So I got one of those. I was like, all right, but you know, I got to watch it. You know, I got to be locked in on it. She goes, yeah, I got it. So it is what it is. But that part of it, I think we're in the clear. But the other part of it is that she now, I guess, technically is a mom. And obviously we don't have kids, so I never had to think about this. Now I have to think about it a little bit. So I got to do something. Do I get her like one of those cards that have like a pun about a cat, a kitty cat? Maybe I'll do something like that. I got a few days to think about it, as we all do, because I'm sure most of you out there forgot. Well, let's be real. Yeah, you probably forgot. You're like, oh boy, Mother's Day's coming. Especially when you consider, look, we get wrapped up in sports. It happens. The Yankees are rolling. The Knicks are rolling. Heck, the Mets are 3-1 in May. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Neil is in Flushing. What's up, Neil?
Hi, Tommy. I want to talk about Steve Cohn and why I don't think he's been as successful as most people thought he would be when he bought the Mets.
Okay.
I was happy as a Met fan because he had deep pockets and the Wilpons were Madoff challenged. I want to ask you a question about Steve Cohn, and then if you'll let me make a comment.
Okay.
Do you know what Steve Cohn did before he bought the Mets?
Well, obviously a successful businessman.
Okay, he ran a hedge fund called SAC, SAC Capital.
Okay.
Okay, Steve Cohn and his hedge fund paid the largest fine in the history of the SEC for insider trading. And it wasn't for 1 year insider trading. It spanned 11 years of insider trading, $1.8 billion they paid. Now, his top lieutenant went to prison, okay? And Stevie claimed he didn't know anything about it, and he just had to pay a fine for not supervising his people properly. Everybody in the industry knew for 11 years the guy had been making money on insider trading. Now, it's not that he's not a bright guy, and it's not that he wouldn't have made a lot of money as an investor. But the guy cheated his way to a lot of his fortune, so
yeah,
he comes in by the Mets.
This is all allegations. None of this is allegations.
No.
So you got to talk about the Mets here. We got to get what do you have to say about the Mets?
Yeah. Well, the fact is that so he comes with a lot of money, but money isn't going to buy you a championship. We've seen lots of teams spend lots of money. You actually have to be competent and know what you're doing.
Well, that's why you hire somebody like a David Stearns to do that.
Yeah, after Billy Epler, and David Stearns has been a failure because Steve Cohen can't cheat his way to success the way he did before. And it's shocking to me that no one at FAN ever talks about his insider trading.
Well, Neil, again, we're talking about allegations. So as far as the Mets stuff, not allegations,
okay. Tommy. His company paid $1.8 billion. It was his company.
Are you a Mets fan?
Yeah. Yes, huge Mets fan.
Huge. Okay. So let's stick to what you're seeing on the field right now. Do you not feel like this team is turning it around a little bit in the way they're playing in May so far, 3-1?
Well, of course, it's been 3-1. What's their record compared to the rest of the baseball?
No, I understand that. April didn't go the way that anybody foresaw it going, and certainly not the way that anybody wanted it to go.
Well, but when give me one move that has turned out successful in this past offseason, and what is Nimmo hitting? And what is...
Well, Pete Alonso's not hitting right now. Jeff McNeil's hitting over 300, for sure. Now, it's one month into the season, and I've said this a million times. Those moves, as far as whether it was the right thing to do, we won't know until years down the line. It's not a one-month thing. It's not a two-month thing. It is more of a years down the line
situation. Oh, I agree with that. No, I agree with that. The Mets could turn it around. And it's possible.
And Jeff McNeil could have a bad or so-so year with the Athletics, and Nimmo could go downhill. And he's had some bad second halves throughout his career. And Pete Alonso still hasn't gotten going. And Diaz is on the shelf; he's out for a couple months.
But everybody has to stop lionizing Uncle Stevie. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I would say this, Neil, in terms of whatever, as far as Steve, as far as, like, the Met fans are, most Met fans, besides essentially positive Tommy, are pissed off, they're ticked off, and they're not happy with the current direction of the team and the future. Now, there's plenty that haven't gone to the future route yet, but everybody outside of me, essentially, a couple other people here and there, but are not happy and are upset with the offseason, they're upset with the start to the year, they're upset with the second half last year, they're upset with a lot of things. So it's not just blissful things here in Queens. People are mad. People are frustrated. And they want to see change, which they're not going to get. Especially if they continue to win baseball games. Because Steve Cohen wants Mendoza to turn things around. And he wants to see success, but he wants to see success with this administration. And as far as the offseason and move, yeah, look, Polanco, we haven't seen him much on the field. So it's, you can't even judge whether or not that was the right move, although, you know, injury prone and is hurt. But his play on the field, especially defensively, we haven't seen. Bichette has fallen into the Met signing that we've seen a lot through the years where they get off to slow starts and they have a great track record. Some recover. A Beltran, a Piazza, Lindor, some don't. Vaughn, Alomar, Jason Bay. I think Bichette is more closer to guys like Lindor and Beltran. You know, I want to put him in the Hall of Fame, but I did, in a sense, by comparing him to Beltran and then Piazza. But I mean it more that I think he's a really, 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 really good hitter and a really, really good baseball player. And I expect him to turn this around. And I expect him to hit in the clutch, and I expect him to go on a tear. Now, hopefully it starts tomorrow, especially with runners in scoring position. But there's some things to like right now, and we'll get into that as we navigate through the next hour and change here on the Fan. 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to call. Your calls on the Yankees, your calls on the Knicks, your calls on the Mets. Really, all of those things are on the table for the final 90 minutes here on After Hours. Tommy Lugauer on the Fan.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Brathan, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Brathan wherever you get your podcasts.
1224 here on the Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. It is After Hours here on the Fan. 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to call. And the Fan Focus is presented by Chef IQ. Is perfect steak possible? Discover how at chefiq.com. Two off-the-court things that I want to discuss with the Knicks right now. First one being my main man, Ben Stiller, who caught a lot of heat for missing game one and being at the Met Gala, where he said, look, I'm watching the game on my phone, even offered up a prediction, Knicks in six. I could tell you this because I follow him on social media. Follows me back, by the way. But I follow Ben Stiller, so I see his tweeting habits. Ben Stiller watches and tweets during summer league games for the Knicks. He's always at the Garden, not just when things are going well or in the playoffs. Like, he's always there. He's a regular. He tweets about the team constantly. To the point where sometimes his tweets get misinterpreted, where people don't realize he's talking about basketball. This guy is a big-time, diehard Knicks fan. And we've all been in situations before, don't act like you haven't been, where you had an event and you had to miss either going to a game or you had to not be on your couch watching it. And luckily, with technology these days, you can just put it on your phone and watch the game. And that's exactly what he did. Like, we've been at weddings, you put the phone right there on the table, everybody gathers around. You try to be incognito about it, because if you somebody in your family that hates sports see you doing it, you're going to get a tongue bash. You know, you're going to get a tongue lashing because, you know, it's a wedding, it's a big night, which it is, obviously. And I certainly wouldn't recommend doing it during the couple's first dance or the daddy-daughter dance or anything like that. You know, have some respect. But once it gets to the party part of the wedding, I don't see a big issue with taking the phone out, sitting around, having some cocktails, and enjoying a game. We've all been there. So everybody wants to play, because it's, you know, it's always open season against the Knicks. We know that. And Ben Stiller is definitely one of the more famous Knicks fans. But this guy is, I'm not kidding, literally, check his Twitter. He tweets about the Knicks all the time. Throughout the regular season, summer league games. I remember the summer, I was like, this dude is tweeting about the summer league. That's a fan. That's really, in many ways, he's like Evan. That's something Evan would do. Tweet about the I don't even know if Evan would do that. Tweet about the summer league. I'm using Evan as a, because he is the diest of diehard fans with his teams. He did a Rico tonight talking about the Mets snowing out a game. I think that was the reason for having it. The Mets snowed out a game. Let's do a live Rico. Okay. But Ben is a big time fan. And I don't think you can even question his fandom, quite frankly. Now, the other thing, and look, the TikTok bros, everybody that's outside of Madison Square Garden, whether they're home, the Knicks, or not, especially during the playoffs and all the stuff that goes on outside of that arena, I've been a defender of it. I said, look, let people have their fun if they want to go viral, whatever. Who cares if they're Knicks fans? As long as everybody is safe, as long as nobody's breaking any laws or there's no issues, fine. That's all good. Let them have fun. And I think it adds in some ways to sort of the spectacle that is New York City, the Garden. And it's not everybody's cup of tea. And I understand that. But after game one, J.R. Smith, essentially, he's good, it's all good, but he basically got knocked over by the mob. And that's where we start to have, to me, it's like, all right, we're not respecting people's space. there could be injuries. That's where it turns could turn ugly. And you don't want to see that, because I do think, especially when it first started, there was a little bit of a, you know, there was, people thought it was cool. Even if you're like, eh, whatever, there was a little bit of a charm to it. But now when you get into a situation where somebody could get hurt, I don't even think anybody tried to pull J.R. Smith up. And I've even kind of, you know, oh, I look at the, when I've been either at a playoff game or not, I look over and go, oh, that looks like fun. I wouldn't get in the middle of it or anything like that. But, you know, I'm like, all right, people are having their fun. They're enjoying it. People fan the way they want to fan. Assuming that any and all of them are fans of the Knicks, and even if they're not, they're a fan of the scene and they just want to get involved, and if they want to go viral, they want to go viral. Okay, we live in a world now where people like going viral. We are in a viral world. But you don't want it to be for the wrong reasons, where J.R. Smith gets knocked over and essentially it seemed like no one wanted to help him up. That's where things could get dangerous. That's where things can get out of hand. And that's where what started out as something that had a little bit of charm, added a little mystique, a little aura, a little bit of wow. That's what's going on outside of Madison Square Garden. New York City is a passionate town. They're not just inside the arena, but it spills out to the streets. But if it becomes a situation where it gets dangerous or people are could get hurt and stuff like that, then I think the line needs to be drawn. And it's like, okay, enough of this. It's too much. Not sure if we're at that point, but sometimes you have to know where you're, you know, before that point, and you get to that point, you need to know that it's, you're encroaching on that point. So I'm all for people having fun. I'm all for celebrating. I'm all for things after hours and people having a great time. All good. This is J.R. Smith. Yeah, knock him over. Not the greatest of looks. So hopefully that people learn from that and they just have their fun and not create a situation where, like I said, somebody could get knocked over or hurt. Because nobody wants that, including the people that I would imagine are doing the videos outside of Madison Square Garden. Because I remember some of the first, the first installments of some of these, and they were funny. People getting videotaped outside of Madison Square Garden, the hype videos, they're fun. And I don't think people look at that and go, oh, all Knicks fans must be like that. I mean, come on. You never want to generalize. And there's nothing wrong with it if you're just, everybody's on the, you know, behaving themselves and there's no issues that come out of it. So hopefully that won't be the case, because there's going to be plenty more wins on this playoff run. And the Knicks are looking to get to a place that they haven't been in decades. So the hype now, after winning one playoff series and now a convincing win over the Sixers in game one, you know, the hype train is building and building and building and building. But you don't want stuff like that to take away from what's going on the court and make that kind of the story. Like I said, I've always been cool with it. Oh, they even make a joke. The TikTok bros and they want to go viral. All good. But when you start to see things like that, you're like, okay, don't go too far here. Because if you go too far, then something that started out with some charm, with some aura, that was fun, that could even be funny at times. And kind of like, yeah, that's New Yorkers. That's how we party. That's how we celebrate in the greatest city in the world, a city that never sleeps, a place where at 4 a.m. you could buy a Cadillac and a slice of pizza. The only place in the world you can do that. You go outside of Madison Square Garden, I don't care what hour of the day it is, and I'm out there at all kinds of hours because of the hours that I keep if I'm taking the train home, and it's always lively because that's what makes this city great. It truly never sleeps, except during COVID. It slept then. I always said during COVID, it was like the city that never sleeps. They had three kids, and they started going to bed at 11 o'clock. But now that it's not 2020 anymore, and we're back to, you know, 2026, and over the last couple of years, it's back to staying up all night. And that only adds to the, like I said, the sell. Because think about it. Because people have asked me this, you know, what would a Knick parade be like? I was like, are you kidding me? First of all, the team hasn't won there are people, many people that are alive that have never seen them win. That are my age and older, too, at 40. So you have that, the drought, a very long drought. They're New York's team, as far as city, I should say, New York City's team. And the weather. The weather is going to be great. So it only adds to, you know, freezing your ass off for like a Giants parade or a Yankees parade or a Mets parade. So when you get the winter sports, when they win the championship, whether it be hockey or basketball, the parades are in warm weather. So it only adds to the, I think, an excitement. I mean, warm weather isn't for everybody, but I prefer warm weather over cold weather. I'll take warm over cold every day of the week. I prefer not the extremes, but I would rather it be 90 degrees outside or 95 than 20. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Speaking of hot, the Yankees are red hot. 15-2 in their last 17 games. Another really dominating performance tonight as they were able to get to DeGrom. Multiple home runs. McMahon hit a home run. Goldschmidt hit a home run. Jazz hit a home run. Caballero continues to do the little things and add a spark to this team that was truly lacking over the last couple years. Really in the Aaron's era, Boone and Judge, of this run of Yankee baseball. Caballero, whether it's a bunt, whether it's causing a pitch clock violation by Jacob DeGrom, he gets inside your head. He's an instigator in the best way possible, and he's the type of personality that you need on this team. You know, at times it could be a little bit buttoned up and corporate with the players. And you don't want it to be lax, because I think sometimes it's been a country club as well. There's always a good balance. And Caballero can bring that edge that some of the other players, I don't think, have. Certainly a guy like Anthony Volpe, who it was the right decision. We talked about this a lot going into the regular season because it was going to be a thing. You know, what would the Yankees do when Volpe got back and cleared and healthy? If Caballero was playing really well and he was a spark and the team was winning, which all those are true right now, they better not put Volpe in the starting lineup. They went even a step further than that. They didn't even have him up with the team. He's down in the minors. And right now, Caballero is just added such a terrific element to this team. And I would have him be the starting shortstop for the rest of the year. Rest of the year. Let him go through it. Like, he's going to slump. Baseball players slump. Although speed doesn't slump. The great defense doesn't slump. The things that he can, but his offense could slump a little bit. But the intangibles or the dynamics that he brings to a team that a lot of the other guys don't have, those will not slump. And his attitude and his fire and his personality, that won't slump. And Anthony Volpe just, it's not his fault, but he just has a little bit of the stench on him from some of the other frustrating regular seasons. And he was obviously right there with Devin Williams as public enemy number one last year. Playing through an injury, but still public enemy number one with Devin Williams. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Bob in Rhode Island. What's up, Bob?
What's up? I'm glad the Yankees are doing very well, and I'm glad the Red Sox stink.
It's a double whammy. Look, I think the fact that the Red Sox have already fired Alex Cora.
They stink.
They do stink. And you're the Yankees essentially were.
And I'm happy about it.
You should be. Are you happy about it, though, Bob, or not?
I hate the Red Sox.
Well, how could you not hate the Red Sox?
I like the Yankees.
Why? We've established that. You love the Yankees and you hate the Red Sox. So right now,
I'm establishing it again.
Say that again, Bob.
I'm establishing what you just said again.
Where do you land with football? What kind of football fan are you?
I'm a Giant fan.
Do you hate the Patriots?
Yep.
You do.
I hate the Bruins and I hate the Celtics.
What kind of hockey fan are you? What kind of basketball fan are you?
I'm a Ranger fan. I'm a Knicks fan.
Right.
I'm really anti-Celtic.
You're anti-Boston.
Anti-Bruin. Anti-Red Sox,
yep.
And anti-Patriots.
You got all
any
the teams.
Any other problems?
Right. No, I got no problems. And you don't have any problems. You don't have any problems right now because the Boston teams are in the toilet. And
they all stink. I realize that. That's why I'm calling up.
Well, that's why. But Bob, let me ask you a question. Up there in Rhode Island, are you feeling like you're kind of a man on an island there? Are you surrounded by too many Boston fans?
No, there's Yankee fans in Rhode Island.
How? What would you say the percentages?
A lot of Yankee fans. There's a lot of Italians in France. Yeah. Rhode Island.
Now you love.
Yeah, they go back to Joe DiMaggio, Phil Rizzuto.
What do you mean they go back to? They're
all Rashi.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yogi Berra.
Do they also hate the Red Sox?
Yeah, I hope so, because I hate them.
Well, I mean, but they might not feel the same way you do. Maybe they have a little bit of
a soft spot. Maybe they do feel the same way I do. They're all Yankee fans. That means they don't like the Red Sox, correct?
Ask me that one again, Bobby. Give me that one more time.
Well, let's try and put it down to your level.
Yeah, please do, because I need, you know what, Bob? I'm not a bright individual. I'm not a smart guy like you, so sometimes
obviously.
You have to dumb it down. Well, Bob, what's with the hostility, though? I don't understand. Did I do something wrong?
You think you're so great.
What do you mean?
Steve Summers, you can hold the candle to Steve Summers.
What does Steve have to do with anyone? Steve's a huge supporter of mine. What does that have to do with Steve?
He was very popular.
So wait a minute. I got it. I am essentially the red. We don't. No need to curse, Bobby. No need to curse. Why am I fooling myself?
Okay, Lugawa.
Yeah, got it. All right, Bobby. You know what? I appreciate it. Have you called me before like this? I feel like there's been hostility with you and I, and I thought we worked through this. I thought when you knew when we had this fight
about
table.
You didn't give me a chance to work through it.
No, we did, and I thought we came to an understanding where we were, I wouldn't say best friends, but we were going to be acquaintances, and now here we are.
No, I like your intelligence. You know your sports.
Yeah, well, you just called me a moron 2 minutes ago.
But you're too pro.
All right, that's enough out of you, Bobby. All good. That's all good. There's sometimes I wish we could leave that stuff on the radio. There are sometimes. Like, that's one of those conversations that I wish the audience can hear. I'm sorry you can't. We're just not allowed to air those type of things. But that was incredible. Incredible. I'll clean it up. He goes, because we were talking there, and like I said, Bobby and I knew it. I don't think he's called me a lot. This might be the second or third time we have spoken here on After Hours. And it's been a minute to the point where I had forgotten our previous conversation. Now, I remembered it as we were talking, but initially, I didn't remember Bob and I having the conversation we had, it felt like right out of the gate, maybe January or February or so when I started. You know, obviously I started at the beginning of the year. But then I remembered, I go, okay, but I thought we cleared things up. And he said, I'm full of myself and I'm an idiot and I'm this and that. I'm no Steve Summers. And then I said, okay, well, much like you hate the Red Sox, you hate me. And much like you love the Yankees, you love Steve. He goes, no, you're good. You know your stuff. But then he goes, well, you're too pro-Met. I go, well, I'm a Met fan. And then he said, well, I hate the bleeping Mets. Okay. What you're into? By the way, Steve was pro-Met. Very pro-Met. He was, in fact, a Met fan, or still is. And Steve, and let's be real here, very much trolling the Yankees after losses. I think I've been very fair about it. But yet there's still hostility. And I don't think I have an ego. You know, when you are a generational talent and the future of the business, not just the radio station, the future of the business, I think you're egoless. I think you're egoless. So I would say it's a misread on your part, Robert. And I'd love to hear from you again, but the potty mouth stuff we just can't have. And I gave you a second opportunity because we have multiple dump buttons we can hit. But you got to the point where we ran out of dumps. Luckily, we were able to get it because we still had a dump, but then you're out. It's not three strikes. It's two. Boom. You're done. I gave you a chance. But the hostility, no need for it. And I'm certainly not full of myself. That's for sure. Am I the greatest thing that this station has ever seen? Yes. Yes. But that's my gift. That's my gift. Not just to me, myself, of course, obviously, as I reap the benefits of it, but also to you. I am the gift to you, Bob, and all the loyal listeners out there, not only in Rhode Island, but also in places like, let's say, New Haven, as we go to Alex on the Fan. What's up, Alex?
What do you hear? What do you say,
Loogie?
Tommy?
What's up, Alex?
So first off, I'm just wondering, how's the cat doing?
He's doing great. He's doing great. We've had a couple of incidences lately where we might have to give him a haircut because when he goes into the litter box, yeah, some of it comes with him and it ends up on the carpet. It ends up on the on his tail, and we've had to shave it off a little bit, and it's becoming almost a nightly ritual, which my wife wants to essentially just shave all his fur off, which I am against, but I have a sneaky suspicion if it continues, I'm going to come home one day and he is not going to look like the cat that I've known over the first couple of months. But I'm hoping it's just one of those things that he gets over, not gets over, but whatever, why for whatever reason it's happening, I'm just hoping it stops because I like his fur.
Right.
It makes him all cute and cuddly.
Right. And I have a friend and he hasn't brushed his cat's teeth and his cat had to get his teeth removed. So I just want to let you know, just make sure you or your wife brush his teeth.
Well, thank you for letting me know that. I'm sure she knows that, but I wouldn't expect to have to. So is this something that we have to do? I'm sure she does. And I'm sure we've been doing it. Is this something you have to do on the regular? Cause I don't want him to have, what does he got to have? Your cat had false teeth. Basically I'd have fake teeth. In there? Dentures.
Well, I'm not really sure, but because I'm more of a dog guy mm-hmm. myself. I have a black lab, but mm-hmm. I don't think that cat has ever had its teeth brushed. So I just want to let you know, just like for future, you know.
Yeah. And well, certainly, I mean, from the breath standpoint, that probably knocked out half the people that were in the house anytime he yawned. So I will say this: our cat always smells great. His breath has always smelled great. So my wife, whether we take him to a grooming service or herself, so far the first couple months that we've had him, which has only been since early February. He's been great. So, but I appreciate you with not only asking how he is, but asking or telling me that we should brush his teeth. I appreciate that.
All right. And I just got two more points. Today I was listening to Evan and Tiki, and Evan said that the Knicks could probably win it all the way they've been playing. Do you think that's coming from like an IBO perspective or just like him being the coalition leader and like, you know, like covering his bases?
I think that's probably coming from more of the, maybe not the coalition, but it's Evan, the person that doesn't want to see the Knicks win the title. And it's sort of that insecurity
right.
of, oh boy, they might, like maybe if I put it in the atmosphere, not mush, but it's almost him like going through his feelings sort of thing. I could
right.
be wrong on that,
because
but
I
that's
do,
just my feel for it.
Right, because I do respect Evan and his
yes,
sports takes. Like
of course.
he's a great sports guy, but
totally.
You know he is the weasel.
He is. He is the leader when it comes to the leader of the coalition stuff. So I'd probably have to hear it in its context to know that. But I he obviously does not want to see the Knicks win a title, which he's open about. He doesn't mind if they get to the finals, but then they must lose.
Right, and my last point is with all the criticism that Mike Brown has got during the regular season, mm-hmm. What are your opinions of him right now? Like from what ever since they were down 2-1 from the Hawks. And now, like, the adjustment, they're just blowing every game out. What do you think now about Mike Brown? And I just want to say thanks for taking the call, Lugie. Have a good night.
Yeah, you too, bro. Appreciate it. I thought Mike Brown got out-coached early on in that series against the Hawks. Obviously, his team was down. He wasn't doing a good job at all, I thought. And now, ever since they've been down 2-1 in that series, the light switch has gone off with this team. And Mike Brown deserves credit for that for sure. The adjustments that he made, not only against the Hawks, but the way he has his team playing on both ends of the floor, not just offensively, which you expect when you hire Mike Brown. And this team is scoring 140 points in playoff games. That is ridiculous. It's one thing to do it in the regular season when we know half the league is trying to get the number one overall pick. And stuff like load management. And there are nights where your opponent just doesn't have anything in the tank and you could drop 140, 150 on them. But to do it in the playoffs and to do it, you know, in these consecutively essentially, and you have now the largest playoff lead at the half, which they had in the series clincher against the Hawks, 47 points. I mean, they are putting up historical numbers right now. And Mike Brown deserves credit for that. And he's got this team playing the best basketball that many of us have ever seen as far as being a Knicks fan. So that's all the great things. And he deserves accolades for all of that. I still need, and look, it's a credit to him that these games aren't close, and hopefully they don't remain close. Hopefully they're not close going forward here, and they continue to be blowouts. But I still want to see Mike Brown late in the game, when it's close, push all the right buttons. And I like Mike Brown. I supported the hire. I've been very much of appraising him throughout the year. I was okay with moving on from Tibbs. I liked the hire. Like I said, I thought he would unlock bridges. I thought he would be the best thing for Carl Anthony Towns. And it wasn't always perfect. And really, when you think about it, whether it was Mike Brown, whether it was Tibbs, the Knicks would have had the exact same regular season that they had. 50-plus wins, a 3 seed. Maybe they would add the 2 seed with Tibbs or something like that or whatever. But 2-3 seed, something like that, top 3 seed. So where Mike Brown is going to create his legacy, and he's going to either prove the doubters wrong or the doubters are going to have their day, it's what he does in the playoffs. And he's had some bad moments, but right now he is the head coach of a team that is steamrolling the competition and certainly deserves credit for that because of the adjustments he made. And not only, you know, offensively, like I said, defensively, like CJ McCollum was the best player in that series in round one until adjustments were made and they locked down on him defensively, and he was a total non-factor in those final 2 games. And it's kind of one of those things where, yeah, I want to see him in a close game to see if he pushes all the right buttons, but the way his team's playing right now, we might not see one of those for a while. But Mike Brown deserves a lot of credit for what's going on. He does. In my mind, he hasn't passed all the tests, and he would probably tell you that too. And it's tough sometimes to gauge it because, like, okay, is this all Mike Brown here, or is this the players? Has the light switch gone off in the players? Did they need to be on the ropes in order to truly be the team that we all wanted them to be? Was this a team that played cat and mouse throughout the year? No pun intended, because one of the players on the team is Cat, so I'm not talking about him. I'm talking more about the cat and mouse game. Is this a team that didn't want to tip their hand? They didn't want to show you the best of what they could do throughout the regular season so teams could go to school on it, and they figured, all right, we're going to unleash it in the playoffs. Now, why would you go behind 2-1 and then finally unleash it? That's kind of a bold strategy, Cotton. I don't know why you would do that. So we've already seen in the playoffs a little bit of the warts that they've had throughout the year. But the way they're playing on both ends of the floor, a generational run, and unlocking Mikal Bridges, who I wouldn't say has turned the corner, but he's turning the corner. He's turning the corner. He's finally realizing his destiny, and that is to be the final Infinity Stone, which is exactly what I called him when he was, I remember we were at Citi Field, Subway Series. I was giddy. Things were going well with all my sports teams. It was just great. And I said that. I said he's the final Infinity Stone. So far throughout his Knick career, with some moments in the playoffs, but he hasn't been that guy that we all expected, and certainly the organization expected when they traded all those picks for him. And over the last couple games, on both ends, defensively and offensively, Mikal Bridges, who got a great ovation from the crowd in game one, we are seeing the Bridges that we thought we were getting. The one from Phoenix, the one from the early days in Brooklyn. That's what he's been the last 2 games. And if Mikal Bridges is playing at this level, the Knicks are unstoppable. They're unstoppable. Because then it truly completes the 5 that they have there in the starting lineup. Because you know Brunson's going to eat, especially in the series. Philly has no answer for him. He should have 4 straight playoff games with over 40 points against the Sixers. He would have if the game wasn't a blowout and he wasn't taken out. We know Cat has been on a triple-double, you know, mission here and on a roll, and when it comes to that type of stuff, same thing. If it wasn't a blowout, he would have gotten another triple-double the other night. I think Anunoby's been the MVP of the playoffs so far for this team. Josh Hart brings it every night. He could score 8 to 10 points and still control a basketball game because of all the things he does on the floor. But it was always Bridges that it was like, okay, you look over and you go, he's not impacting the game. He's got 0 points in a playoff game. Can we get Mikal to that level where he is 17 points, 24 points, locking guys up defensively. That is needed to put the Knicks over the hump. And I think one of the big reasons why this team is dropping 140 on a nightly basis and putting together some of the best basketball that we have ever seen, if not ever have seen. Like, if it's not the best basketball ever, it's certainly right there. I mean, this stretch, it's hard to find anything. It's a different game, though, in the 90s. That's the only thing. So it's tough to compare errors. That's the only reason why it's sometimes hard, because you're not going to score 140 points in the 90s. It's not happening. You have the capability and the firepower to do it now. You certainly don't expect it in the playoffs night in and night out, but thankfully that's been the norm. And hopefully it continues to be that as Game 2 tips off. As we've crossed over to midnight, later on this evening, I will have you on After Hours, by the way, after the Yankee game. A little bit of a rain in the forecast, but I'm not expecting anything too crazy. There's some rain, but the Knicks tip off at 7, and I will have you, assuming everything goes through with the Yankees, they play on time, the whole nine, I will have you after the Yankee game, figure around 10:30 or so, with full reaction to not only the Yankees, but of course the Knicks game 2 against the Sixers, and the Mets are back in action, I assume, because it's snowing in Colorado. I'd imagine it'll be not snowing tomorrow, and they will play the game as the Mets look to continue on their start to May, which has been very strong. They are 3-1. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It's After Hours. It is Loogie in the Late Night. Another hour here to go on The Fan.
On Reddit, true crime doesn't come from journalists. It comes from the victims, the witnesses, and sometimes the suspects themselves.
Every Tuesday on Crimes of Reddit, we read these posts out loud.
I'm Sabrina Dianaroga.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. One of us brings the story, the other goes in blind, reacting in real time, just like you.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Crimes of Reddit, available now wherever you get your podcasts.